Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
So to talk about last night, Evan Mobley's big night, we welcome on a pretty darn legendary Cavs big man himself, Cavs TV analyst, Cavs legend, now with the FanDuel Sports Network, the great Brad Doherty, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Brad, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, it was good to hear you on the call last night. It was good to have you not just back on the air, but back. I almost said in town. You're in Toronto. But I'm just, you know, in terms of what you saw last night, obviously, I said, yeah, okay, it's one game. Yeah, it's Toronto's not a great team. How repeatable is what you saw last night, whether it's Evan Mobley, the way they played, the spacing, the rotations, all the new, I think we got yesterday for the Cavs?
Yeah, you know, I think it's very repeatable. I think the thing that's going to have to take place is obviously the reps to get the consistency and the continuity against, you know, really high-level competition. I thought we started out the first quarter of that basketball game really trying to get into a rhythm, and it was a little bit difficult. But once everyone kind of settled in to where they needed to be, their assignments on both ends of the floor, the communication ramped up, it was really pretty spectacular to watch. And I thought that, it's just last year we were 24th in the league in pace, which is just really – that's pretty sluggish, a little bit arduous. And so, you know, watching that last night was intriguing because obviously Evan Mobley played fantastic, but so did everyone else that came in the game because there was so much movement. And that movement allows any and everyone who comes into the game to have a touch of the basketball and to get it in space. And when you get a basketball in space and you're an NBA-level basketball player, you know, you can make things happen, and we saw that throughout the lineup. So I thought it was really an impressive first game, especially on the road. And I think it lends itself towards, you know, a lot of expectation, because what I saw last night was absolutely intriguing and a different brand of offensive basketball that we're not going to have to, you know, rely on Donovan Mitchell to score 40 for us to have a chance to win. I think there's going to be nights he scores 18 to 20 and we still win. And if we can get to where we're doing that and get away from this narrative of you got to have this guy who scores a bunch of points to win a game and realize you do it through committee, I think we got a chance to be really, really good. I really do. Better than we were last year, and we were really good last year.
So you mentioned Evan, and there was some aggressiveness there. There was, you know, kind of what they asked him to do. That was a little different. So just kind of big picture, walk us through what you kind of saw from Evan and what might look a little different than how it looked last year.
Yeah, I think the big thing with Evan and what Coach Atkinson is really giving him the opportunity to do is to play more facing the basket and utilizing his actual ability as just a world-class athlete and just one heck of a basketball player. So you're seeing him catch the basketball in transition. And ironically, my old basketball coach is one of the guys, he basically invented the transition break. And that was Dean Smith. And when I played at North Carolina, I was the first guys that was follow the break and stop around the top of the key and catch the basketball because I could pass real well. Well, you're kind of seeing that with Evan. He's the guy that the offense is kind of starting through at times right around the top of the key. He has that extra element of where if the defender, which the defender is going to do, comes up and closes out and tries to take up space, he's angular enough that he can get that first dribble away from the defender. Now he's one-on-one basketball in the middle of the court, and it creates – really difficult to help defend on that. And that's what you saw last night. You saw him last night go to the basket three or four times on four or five dribbles from the top of the key down towards the basket. and he's just got one defender on him. And I just don't think there's one defender in the league that can guard Evan Mobley, especially as his confidence starts to grow. And it just created this dynamic offensive opportunity, because when he didn't shoot the ball, he's extremely unselfish. He was able to find someone that was kind of leaning or looking. I tell you, it's really difficult to, as a help defender, to come to the middle of the court and help. You in basketball, you're always trying to channel people one way or another, one side of the court or another. And if you get them on the side, you can capture them and trap them, and it's usually a bad pass. In the middle of the court, which is really brilliant, if I'm going to help and it's my responsibility, I'm taking a chance. And I'm looking and I'm looking and I'm trying to find the right time. And Evan several times caught the guy in between who was going to help and just made a pass. And you had wide open Ty Jerome, wide open Donovan Mitchell, wide open Darius Garland, wide open, you know, Dean Wade, and guys just made open shots. So it's really interesting, and I think it's going to make Evan, you know, the responsibility is tremendous, because now, you know, your turnovers go up because you're handling the ball so much. So he's got to do a better job as we go forward of really surveying the landscape when he catches the basketball, and that's going to get better and better. But what you saw last night was a guy who was really confident that no one on that floor could guard him, and he just dominated anyone that tried to pick him up one-on-one.
Brad Doherty in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So let's say they can get that Evan Mobley more often than not throughout the regular season. And let's say that that continues kind of his growth at an exponential level. If this is, like last year, it was pretty much, it was Donovan was the clear star of this team. And then, like, the 2B was, like, Evan or Jared or Darius on any given night. If this can be 1A, 1B, right? Donovan's the top dog, but Evan is just kind of nipping at his heels every night for the star attraction here. Has that changed the ceiling in the playoffs?
Yeah, I think what it does, it gives us a realistic opportunity to have great success in the playoffs. And I think that's the goal. I mean, so, you know, hey, we've already, you know, the past couple of seasons been able to get ourselves, our team's gotten better, and we've gotten to the playoffs. And people forget last year, you know, we got into the playoffs and we were a beat-up basketball team. I mean, we were hurt. And it just kind of gets pushed by the wayside, and everyone just is disappointed that you don't win at all, but they just don't take into effect the reality of it. For me, it's all about – I don't think I've seen a team in a long, long time. I mean, he's got – Coach, this team has 9 guys that can just flat-out play. 9 legitimate guys that could play for multiple NBA teams right now. And then you've got a really interesting rookie that's going to develop and also be able to fit into that grouping. So you get midway through the season, you got 10 guys that can play. And so I think it's a unique opportunity to go against the grain and play, you know, 8-9 guys every night, which is difficult to do, because – from the media standpoint and the sports centers and all that stuff, everybody wants to talk about one guy and make every one guy a superstar, and that's all you want to talk about. But that doesn't win games. That's not going to win games. And so when you have this opportunity, I think it's going to be nice. Like I said, you'll see Darius Garland score 25 and Evan have 25 and Donovan have 18 and vice versa. But there's so much firepower in our lineup. If it can be unleashed appropriately, it's just a matchup nightmare. I don't know who throughout the league besides Boston matches up well with us. And you know, Philadelphia is the, you know, that's the odd one because of Embiid. No one matches up well with them. So that's just an anomaly. You got to just figure that out, and hopefully you can wear them down. But I think that Boston and the Cavs match up in very similar styles, and I'm just not going to be surprised if we end up playing in the Eastern Conference Finals this year. The Eastern Conference is very, very tough. Both conferences are tough. But if the Cavaliers stay healthy, and they can take advantage of this offensive opportunity. And there's going to be ebbs and flows with it, and that's what we'll have to wait and see once we get towards the All-Star break, is where are the struggles with this? You know, where are we? How are we struggling? Are we getting too many three-point shots? Are we getting too many two-point shots? Is there not enough balance? You know, what's the things that have to be fixed, and how fixable are they? And if they're easy, which I think they will be, the other part's done. The defensive side of the basketball for the Cavaliers is the best side of the basketball. I mean, you've got a top 10 defensive team with the Cavaliers just falling out of bed. All you can do is mess that up. So for me, as a fan, I'm extremely excited because this team has been built to win a championship, not to win playoff games, to win a championship. And I think all the pieces to that puzzle are there. And now we've got to see the direction that Coach Atkinson wants to push this basketball team. And thus far, from what I've seen in camp and being around, I like it. I think it's suitable. I think it's sustainable. And I think most importantly, it's going to be a brand of basketball that we all in Northeastern Ohio can be extremely proud of night in and night out.
Brad, you mentioned one potential challenge of a deep rotation, but if you look across the league, really consistently the last couple of years, there's been one team that does double-digit rotation. That's Memphis. And I want to say they've been 10 or 11 deep in, like, you know, double-digit minute per game guys for, like, each of the last 3 years. Like, beyond just the everybody wants to get their box score in, what are the challenges of balancing that deep rotation?
Yeah, you know, that's the challenge, just what you mentioned. Everyone has egos, and, you know, guys want to hear their name called on the PA. They want to have people patting them on the back when they're walking down the street. But I've watched that a little bit. I think the realization is everyone that comes into the game realizes that they have an opportunity. And the thing I like that Coach Atkinson is doing is he is telling guys, no matter who you are, if you are open, shoot the basketball. If you have a good shot, shoot it. And so that gives everyone has opportunity. Now, you may not have 15 opportunities. You may have 8 if you're a rotational player. But, I mean, look at a guy like Harris LeVert. I mean, this is great for him because he is aggressive, hyper-aggressive on that offensive end. It's all attack. I mean, he came in last night in 19 minutes and scored 20 points. It's because it was within the rhythm of the game. So I think it lends itself, to be honest with you, it accommodates everyone's egos to a certain degree, and we all have them because we want to compete and we want to win. But I think there's enough shots, and with the leadership with Donovan and Darius and Tristan and the older guys, they going through what we've gone through the last couple of seasons, everyone realizes that the moment is really fragile. It's really hard to get through the playoffs and be successful because any one thing, Jared Allen breaking a rib or, you know, Evan Mobley twisting an ankle, Darius breaking his jaw, those things happen a lot. And if that happens, it derails you. And if it doesn't happen and you stay healthy and you're really talented, you have a Boston Celtics-type season like they did last year. And I think this Cavaliers team is going in that direction. Does it happen this year? I don't know. I would not be surprised. But in the near future, I'd be shocked if this team doesn't play for a world championship.
Brad, looking to – I guess last night answered every question or every critique that I had of last year, whether it was spacing, whether it was just offensive design in general, whether it was the focus and commitment on Evan – there were so many things that I saw last night that were like, finally, eureka. Is there anything that you would like to, like, on top of what you saw last night, is there anything else you kind of want to see, that next step, that next gear?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Here.
Yeah, the thing I want to see just takes time, and it's to, I want these guys to understand. I mean, this offense that Coach Atkinson has implemented is very comprehensive, but it's all geared towards pace. And the thing I really like about it is it's a quick-paced offense that is very disciplined. And so I was watching last night, and I've watched a little bit throughout practice, and what happens is guys – are open and they're looking, and we've got some of the most unselfish guys in the league. And instead of taking the shot, they're looking to make that extra pass. And like I say, this is just something that comes through reps and playing. I want guys to understand they need to be really aggressive with that basketball, the offensive end. And if you're open, it's almost hurtful to the team if you don't shoot it. Now, I'm not talking about Jared Allen shooting threes. That's not what I mean. But the way this rotates, you know, the one through four end up with a lot of open opportunities from 15 to 16 feet with openings that are probably a half a second open where you can make a pass or shoot it, and these guys need to shoot it. And you need to get some shots up. And if you get enough shots up with the quality of shooting that we have, you're going to run some people out of the gym, just like last night. I mean, 136 points, even in today's game, that's a lot of points. That is a high-octane offense. And we did it without shooting 53s. So that just tells you that the discipline is there. The framework is there. And so for me, it's just watching these guys mature and embrace this offensive style that's going to free them up and embrace being as free – as they are to take shots when they're open. And as guys, the more they recognize that, which comes through reps, I'm telling you, man, it's going to be fun to watch. There's going to be some big nights for this basketball team.
Brad, excellent stuff, buddy. Appreciate your time. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait to enjoy the ride and hear you on the calls and hear you on the broadcast. And we sure appreciate your time as well.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Brad Doherty there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Cavs TV analyst, Cavs legend. And, of course, you can find him on FanDuel Sports Network. We'll react to what Brad had to say about the Cavaliers and their big night next on 92.3 The Fan. It should be noted, we've not gotten to it yet. You're hearing in the 2020s, the Browns have filed a lawsuit against the city of Cleveland to get some clarity on the Modell Law. The Modell Law. So we've got now... we've now got the city council, the mayor, we've got local politicians going after the Browns. There's lawsuits there. And now the Browns going back at the city of Cleveland. So this is where we are. And in fairness, like, I'll be honest with you guys just real quick here before we get into anything more with the Cavaliers. I know it's so fashionable because the Browns are 1-6. I know that it is, oh, the Browns are suing the city of Cleveland. Guys, the city of Cleveland brought this on themselves. The city of Cleveland had no real interest in keeping the Browns downtown, but they don't like the political liability of losing the Cleveland Browns. And it is to Brook Park. As a matter of fact, if I'm correct, the land that it's going to be on literally used to be – City of Cleveland land. I don't remember the land swap that was made, but it literally used to belong to the City of Cleveland. And all of this is because politicians continue to play political games. And political games, instead of just saying, as adults, we can't afford the Cleveland Browns. We want to have better schools. We want to have better roads. And we know that the Browns are still going to be in the region. And so now I'm going to black out. Because there's no scenario, in my opinion, in which the Browns stay downtown. And any of those scenarios would have happened 3 years ago. So this is simply wasting more tax dollars, filing lawsuits and fighting lawsuits that are only to maybe help get them a little bit of extra cheddar as the Browns leave town. And that might actually be like an optimistic way of looking at it. It is frivolous spending of your tax dollars if you live downtown to fight a war they don't really want to win. See, I told you I was going to black out there. These things do happen. Now, I digress. Man, it is so tough to not hear the passion and excitement that Brad Daugherty has for what he saw last night and spin that forward. But as I promised, I'm not doing that because this is a low commitment. This is a casual relationship. This is about good booty right now for me with the Cleveland Cavaliers. I simply want to enjoy the Cavs playing really good basketball with Evan Mobley doing what Evan Mobley's doing. And then I'll worry about commitment. I'll worry about locking into expectations. And will this thing go the distance? I'll worry about that in 2025. Because last night really did answer. And I said this again. I said this with Jason. I'll say it again. This is not that J.B. Bickerstaff isn't a good coach. I think that his usefulness in how he ran this thing ran its course. And specifically last year, my biggest issues were things like, are you empowering these guys? Are you making sure to get through to these guys that Evan needs to be empowered? Are you mandating that? What do your rotations look like? Are you making sure to develop things so that Donovan doesn't have to carry you for 82 regular season games so he can serve a little bit there or can serve a little bit for the postseason? And in one night, Kenny Atkinson showed me everything I had been screaming off the top of my lungs that J.B. Bickerstaff wasn't showing me. They need to do it 81 more times, but man, can we just say that Cavs team, which is fun to watch, and plays a style of basketball offensively that's going to win you a lot of regular season games and even some postseason games. Well done, Kenny Atkinson, and well done, Evan Mobley, who was a dog last night. Some people thought he didn't have that dog in him. I think last night showed you he does. When we come back, guys, got a lot to get to in the 6 o'clock hour, including we'll get to the one part where I think it's okay to bash the Browns. And something that I think you don't want to hear, but you might need to hear about them. That's next on 92.3 The Fan.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto Parts.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.